Yeah, welcome everyone to episode 7, I think it is, of Couch Potatoes and Sports Tragics. I've got Jordan here again. How are you, Jordan?
Episode 7, mate. There's no stopping us.
There's no, it's on a roll.
7 was my number, actually.
Was it?
Growing up, yeah. Doing the Aussie rules. Always had to fight for it, of course.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, thank God for that. I thought you were going to say your IQ.
Mate, no, it's way too high. You've got to drop a couple of points off that one, mate, to get where I am.
Yep. Well, okay, this week we're going to lighten it up a little bit after the last episode we did on head knocks. Obviously a fairly serious thing, but
just quickly on that, still going on. McCartan from the Swans got a heavy hit, concussed. His brother actually went out, had to leave the game because of too many concussions. And, so it's going to be very interesting to see what the tribunal does there over the next coming days against the GWS. So, be interesting.
Okay, that's always sad when someone gets injured that way. I mean, it's as we said in the last episode, it's pretty hard to control some things in collision sports. But anyway, we're going to lighten it up with nicknames.
Yes, nicknames.
I did say, we have to get a moniker for you.
Yeah, well, I know. But I mean,
apart from Screen Boy, I can't think of anything else.
I mean, are we allowed to swear on this? Because I have been told, I have been relayed quite a lot of words I probably don't know how to express as to, what people have called me over the time, but that's all right. You cop all sorts of stuff, don't you?
We all get that. AFL, you know of what? Oh, actually, before we start, the probably the most famous nickname really in Australian sport sort of has to be the Don. I know it makes him sound like the head of the mafia, Australian mafia, but Don Bradman, the Don. Yeah. You just say the Don and everyone knows it's like he's up there on a pedestal.
Yeah, the Don, that's for sure.
Yep. So that's a famous one.
I always remember actually thinking of Don Bradman, and I actually can still remember that black and white thing where he's hitting with the stump against the the water tank.
Yep.
And that's how he obviously got his skills. So it just always just etched in my mind, like as something growing up and everything as a kid playing cricket. Just incredible stuff.
It is a famous film clip, that one, and he does reenact that in that film clip, what he used to do as a kid just out of sheer boredom basically. And they did get – I did see some sort of special where they got guys like Steve Smith, I remember, was in the film clip, and they tried to do it and they couldn't.
Yeah, well, it's I don't think it'd be an easy thing to do.
A stump and a golf ball.
Yeah.
Yeah. So – and you can see in the old film clips, his hand-eye coordination was just incredible.
I can imagine Steve Smith and Warner, all those guys, they wouldn't want any cameras around while they're attempting that one, that's for sure.
No.
They'd be going all over the place.
Absolutely. Yeah. But, what have you got?
Well, mate, obviously with the AFL, I mean, we were chatting earlier about this one, which is the flying doormat. I think – that comes to mind as probably the most famous man, Brucey Doole, of course. As you said, about 300, over 350
356 games for Carlton, and in the Carlton and AFL Team of the Century.
Yeah, and you were telling me how he got it. I mean, it all makes sense, of course.
Yeah, for those who don't know Bruce Doole, we're going back to the 70s. I think he might have even gone into the early 80s. Yeah, he did play for 18 seasons, I think.
He was around a long time. Definitely in the 80s. I remember, being a kid watching him.
Yeah, but he had the big long hair at the back, virtually no hair.
Mate, it was like scraggle, wasn't it?
It was. No hair at the front. He did the big sort of comb over. He had the headband. And in the early days when he was running around, the old comb over would sort of flap up and in the wind, and they sort of looked a bit like a doormat, and hence he got his name.
Yeah, well, the poor bugger. I mean, I think he was a shiner by the age of 25 or something like that. So that was a bit rough.
Yeah, pretty much all I can remember of him, from day dot.
No wonder he got good at footy.
Yeah, well, I would have been watching him. Well, he was around in the early 70s.
Yep.
He would have played in that 1970 grand final against Collingwood when they came back from nowhere and won it. Him and Jesolinko, John Nichols and guys like that, I remember.
Yeah, big names.
Yeah, big names. Big. But they're the flying doormat. Look it up on YouTube or Google him.
I've got to have a look before, but I remember watching one game when I was a kid. And who was it? Well, some cheeky guy. It might have been Reece Jones. Someone with a bit of lair. And actually took his headband off him. Ran across it, mate. I've never seen Brucey Doole get so rolled up in my life, mate. That was a line you don't want to cross.
The only thing the headband would have been doing was it wasn't keeping the hair out of his eyes. It would only be keeping the sweat out of his eyes.
I know. It was more sacrilege, I think. I don't think anyone else is allowed to touch it. Another fun one just for the Sydney Swans at the moment, a guy called Lizard, Nick Blakey. His old man was obviously John Blakey was a very famous footballer, I think it was North Melbourne. But yeah, and he's called the Lizard. And if you take one look at him, like his neck's got this big long neck and it's like slightly tilted and he's like this sort of really wiry guy. So you can see how he got that name. Bloody good footballer.
Okay, all right. Yeah, of course, we've got the famous one, Tony Lockett,
yes,
Plugger.
Yes, Plugger.
And we did do some research on that one. It's apparently been handed down the years from his father and his grandfather. His grandfather apparently had a green thumb, used to plug around in the garden, so hence the name Plugger was passed down. So
yeah, well, you would have
thought. A bit unexciting, that one, isn't it, really?
No, it's a bit of an anticlimax, really. I mean, everyone just assumed because he's like, well, he sort of looked a bit like a plug, though, didn't he? Like the way he plugged in and plugged away
and plugged goals.
So, Plugger, seriously, like he played for St Kilda. I think he lost every game and, you know, maybe like 1 out of 10 games the whole time he was at St Kilda.
Really?
Yeah, and so imagine if he was like in a team like Hawthorn or Carlton, something like that were on top of the ladder. You know, like Dunstall played for Hawthorn, and that's why he came, you know, he's second on the board, but 1,200 odd goals, something. And he was in a champion team. Like, Plugger had none of that. The Swans had some success, obviously, a little bit, you know, in the mid 90s. They came up and did well, but yeah, so.
Well, they won a grand final,
huge
didn't they?
Feat. They didn't win a grand final to 2005. They lost in 96 to North Melbourne, I think. After being on top of the ladder. Anyway, that's neither here nor there.
Did Plugger end up being the all-time great goal kicker? Or
yeah, he did.
Peter Hudson's record? I remember when I was a kid, Peter Hudson was chasing someone's record. And
Hudson's up there. But no, it was definitely the two absolute standouts. There's Buddy as well. Like he kicked
over 1,000.
1,000, yeah. So
that was one of the most incredible moments in sport when that crowd invaded the pitch there. That was just you didn't have to play AFL to enjoy that moment in Australian sport.
That's right. I think that was one of the longest quarters in history, actually, something like that. Because it took him like 40 minutes to clear everyone off.
Oh yeah, incredible!
But
incredible.
He took it well, like Buddy. He was okay about it. He was happy about that one. But yeah, so Dunstall as well. He's up there. They're the two standouts.
Yeah, he was a Hawthorn player, wasn't he?
Yeah. Up front there, he was solid. That's for sure.
Yeah. Okay. So all time goal kickers. We got anyone else there AFL?
Well, I think they're the most fun ones, obviously Lethal Lee, then Lee Matthews.
Yeah, Lee Matthews, I remember him.
All-time champion, of course.
Absolutely. And, what was...
Didn't mind digging the elbow in every now and then, either, that guy.
There was...
you knew you were playing against him.
Yeah, no, tough little dude.
He broke the point post once.
Did he?
He ran into the
with
point
his head?
Post and it snapped like that. Yeah, he kept playing. None of that, you know.
Must be.
Let's not worry about a foot wide bloody post or whatever it was.
Must have been an old wooden one. Much. Must have been an old wooden post, surely.
It was a wooden post.
Yeah, look, there's a St Kilda player who was a bit bald too, who played a lot of games. Oh, no, sorry, it's a Richmond player. Richmond player. Kevin Bartlett. Did he have a nickname?
I don't know.
We'll do some research on that one.
Research on that. He was a champion. He looked like nothing.
Yeah, he played well over 300 and something. I'm sure he held the record at one stage of the most games.
Yeah, and he had a lot of goals too.
There
was a grand final week, 7 or something.
Look, he looked old when he was 22. And then he kept going and going and going, you know. Yeah.
Poor bugger didn't do a warning with the advanced hair, did he?
No.
Yeah, yeah.
Wasn't around then.
Yeah.
Greg Matthews, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Funny about that. We were just earlier on, Donna and I were watching some of the old footy show things, and that film clip came up with Peter Sterling and the Yeah Yeah takeoff of the ad.
Oh, that was pretty hilarious. Funny. He copped a lot of shit for that, didn't he?
Well, yeah. Very unpolitically correct, the old footy show.
That's why you love it. Yeah. But to say, mate, you've got a decent mop on you.
So, yeah, not too bad. My birthday tomorrow. Yes. 65 tomorrow.
What?
Yep.
Bloody hell.
Yeah, doing all right. Yeah, yeah.
I'll take a trip to Bali for you, mate, you know, just for your birthday. You know, that's how much I think about you, mate.
Beautiful. Thanks, mate.
I'll have an extra, sat down next to Margarita or, you know, a couple of coldies and what have they got? Bintang over there, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. What I actually enjoyed, we were over there recently and enjoyed the old cocktails. Just trying to think what cocktail was. I think it was a pina colada with a bit of coconut cream in it or something. Beautiful. Yeah, nice.
You know? Well, you got to go the old classic tropical sort of thing when you're hanging on the beach watching the sunset.
Sunrise things and there's other ones you can't mention, but yeah. I'm sure.
So I got my KO Sports, mate. I'll be sitting there watching.
Yeah. Wait a sec. Can you watch it over there?
I don't think you can. Well, how tricky is it?
Because I couldn't get any reception because it's outside the country.
Well, you know how to get around that, though, don't you? So use a VPN.
Okay. We didn't say that.
No.
To everyone.
No. But, pretty common knowledge.
Okay. Well, I didn't know that. But anyway, cricket captain Grumpy, Alan Border.
I actually didn't know it was his nickname.
Yeah, Captain Grumpy.
I mean, that was my, you know, growing up watching, like he was, and War, of course, as captain. That was, you know, my growing up, the two big ones. And Chappell, of course. Hughes.
Yeah, well, Ian Chappell was called Chappelli. You know the reason for that?
No, you're going to hit me?
Yeah, well, up on the scoreboard, they used to have Chappell I and Chappell G. And so they looked at it, it looked like an Italian word, so they called it Chappelli.
Oh, God.
That's how we got that.
Yeah, mate. You're taking advantage of me today, I think.
Of course, we've got, like, you know, in recent times, the Big Show, Glenn Maxwell. Yeah. I don't know who gave him that name. He probably gave that name to himself.
He probably did.
And going back into the 80s, we got Dizzy Gillespie.
Oh, Gillespie.
Good bowler.
What did Tomo have a nickname? Yeah.
Tomo.
Because he was, he cracked the 160, didn't he, I think?
Well, he did. You know, no matter what anyone says, my research shows that he was the quickest bowler of all time. And you just see some of those old videos. Yeah, he was just incredible.
Well, the 160K is the 100 mile, isn't it?
Yep, so 100 mile an hour.
That's why it was such a, literally a milestone half.
That's the 4-minute mile of cricket, pretty much.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not sure about Tomo, but I'll have to do some research on that one too as well. But, yeah.
I'll tie that in. But it's been some good cricket, or Warney. I have to laugh, like, you know, say like Warney. Isn't that like when you think about nicknames, it's just generally when you call people, you know, Davo, Warney, you know.
Yep.
Scotty,
how are you? Yeah, you know? Robbo.
Dazza.
Yeah. So Warney really didn't have one, did he?
Yeah. I think we're a country that, you know, really anything with more than three syllables is too much. We just chop it down. Yeah,
for sure.
Just wasting time, mate. That's what happens.
Yeah. Well, you get you get people who have got red hair called Bluey or guys who are really big and they call them Tiny.
Yeah.
You know, it's sort of a bit of a anti sort of nickname in a way, isn't it?
Yeah, there's not a lot of tricks. I mean, I always laugh, you know, you go past like 7 Mile Creek, you know, like it's all pretty obvious stuff, isn't it? You know, 7 Mile Beach is your landings, of course.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, we've got Rod Marsh, his famous nickname given to him very early. Well, first of all, he was called Iron Gloves in his early days. And then when he became one of the best keepers in the world, it was quickly followed by Bacchus, which, of course, is Bacchus Marsh, which is a town just outside of Melbourne, northwest of Melbourne, I think 50 Ks.
Yeah.
Famously, Bacchus Marsh. And that sort of gave a bit of a trend then to like Jeff Marsh, who was no relation to him.
No.
His nickname was Swampy Marsh. So, you know, it became a bit of a pattern there.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. But as I was saying before we started, Mark Waugh, it took Mark Waugh a long time to get into Test cricket. He scored, I think, a record amount of runs before he actually got selected for Australia.
Yep.
And when he did get selected for Australia, he took the place of his brother Steve in the Test side.
Yeah, right.
And
sibling rival, twin rivalry, that kind of thing.
It wasn't their fault. It was the selectors were the ones doing that. But famously, Mark Waugh's nickname early on, because he was the Forgotten Waugh, his nickname was Afghanistan.
Oh, God.
True story, mate.
I believe it. There's Aussie humour for you, isn't it? Eh?
Yep.
Just a little dip of sarcasm. Gotta love it.
And of course, postman Pat Cummins, because he always delivers.
Yes.
And he has been playing well. In the IPL.
That's almost a dad joke, really, isn't it?
A little bit like that, yeah. Well, you get a few of those.
Yeah.
And, of course, his brother, talking about the wars, Steve, his brother, his nickname was Tugger. Tugger War.
Yeah. Can't help but have a little chuckle on that one. He probably didn't repeat that himself too much.
I'm sure. Yeah, you had to sort of say the tug of war. Yeah, exactly.
I wasn't thinking anything else.
I wasn't.
What we're talking about there?
No, not at all. Marcus Stoinis, he's called the Hulk, mainly because of his physique. His physique. So, and of course, overseas, fiery Fred Truman, who was one of the great quick bowlers of all time.
Yeah.
He did hold the world test record for quite a while there, and till I think Lance Gibbs broke it, and the off spinner for the West Indies. And
what was Botham called?
Beefy.
Beefy. Yeah, right. Okay. I knew it was something like that. Well, that makes sense.
Yeah, again, because that was for his size.
Yes, I don't think there was any health nutritionist on the. On the sides,
no,
staff.
No. Boom Boom Afridi, remember him from Pakistan? Early in his career, I think he was a phenomenal six hitter, so they called him Boom Boom.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very famous again. Going to rugby, but you wouldn't know these. I'm sure you don't know these ones. John Eales, the great, captain for Australia. Yeah, he was incredible. Yeah, he was a great player, and his nickname was Nobody. And that was because nobody is perfect.
Yeah, right.
And that was behind that one.
Yeah.
And another famous one, when I first started playing rugby in Canberra, I was playing in the Western Districts Rugby Club, and I had a big lumbering second rower in the team called Jeff Larkham, I should say. Mm-hmm. Gave the game away there. Jeff Larkham. And he had a young baby on the side of the field there, and that young baby grew up to be Steve Larkham, who played for Australia, great fullback, and then converted to 5'8".
Yep.
Won a Rugby World Cup in 96 with Rod McQueen's side, and he had a very famous nickname. They called him Bernie.
Yeah, okay.
Because he really was the quietest guy around, and you couldn't get boo out of him.
Yep.
So they named him after Bernie from the Weekend at Bernie's movie. So the guy they used to carry around who died and just, Bernie Larkham. And he still to this day is called Bernie Larkham. here's a classic. This is a guy who played – he played about 175 games for, I think, Newtown. He played for four different clubs. I think he started with Newtown. A guy called Phil Sigsworth.
Okay.
And his nickname was What's Packeter?
Mm.
What's Packeter Sigsworth? That was his nickname. What's a Packeter?
That's a big nickname.
Is it?
That destroys my whole philosophy of no more than two syllables.
True. Oh. Well, I remember Glenn Lazarus, who played with the Raiders in their great side, the late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah, it was a good side.
He was called the Brick with Eyes.
Yeah.
So his nickname was Brick.
Well, some others said, did Meninga have one? Well, like I was watching the footy show this morning, actually, and they're talking about some of the greats. He certainly would have earned one, I reckon. He's such a good footballer.
Yep. Yeah, so Mal Meninga. I'm not too sure whether Mal had a nickname.
I don't usually throw them at you, but I was thinking, I just wonder.
I do know that Steve Walters from that same side, his nickname is Boxhead. I remember that. And, a famous one was another famous nickname was Martin Afire. He was an English player who came over to play for Eastern Suburbs. So Martin Afire, and his nickname was Chariots.
Yeah, well, there you go.
The obvious one, another one taking a theme from a movie. And, of course, Alan Langer for Brisbane Broncos and Queensland, terrorised us in State of Origin for many, many years. He had a bit of a likeness to the character from the TV sitcom in the 80s, Alf, who was an alien who came down. Mm-hmm. So they called him Alfie. And to this day, he's called Alfie.
Alfie Langer.
Yeah.
That's actually one of the probably most famous ones when you think about it.
Yeah, look,
people would know that name over the other for sure.
Well, I had to look it up, to be honest. I couldn't remember his real name.
I actually thought it was his name.
Okay. Well, there you go. And, of course, the King Wally, it's a boring one, I know, but Wally Lewis, the King, is revered up in Queensland with a statue outside Suncorp or –
Yeah, geez, he played good football and
good player.
I remember that was the good old days when he'd get off and spark up.
Oh yeah,
whatever he was, what he's smoking. whatever cigarettes or whatever.
But just as we did talk about in a previous podcast, those Queenslanders at that time were on the back end of a long 20-year winning streak by New South Wales. So every time they went out in the field, they really gave it to us, and you know, in big doses, just getting back for that big long streak. Yeah. And of course, my good mate Ray Price was called Mr. Perpetual Motion. Because he just did not stop on the field, even pretty much way back in his early days in rugby, because he was a dual international. He played for the Wallabies and the Kangaroos. He played 8 tests for the Wallabies. Wallaby number 573.
Well, yeah, Sturlo, Cronin, Teddy Price back there. That was a
great side.
Solid side.
Great
years.
Side. Steve Eller in the centres. And you had Eric Groth on the wing. Great side. Well, they won. They were the last side, apart from this Penrith side, to win 3 premierships in a row. That's 81, 82, 83, it must have been.
I reckon that when I was at school, I was in primary school at that stage, I got 9, 10, and I just went to a new primary school and everyone was going for the Eels. And I was sitting there, you know, who do you go for, new kid? No, Sharks. It's like, what? You know, who are you, mate? You know, bloody hell. Because everyone would go for the Eels. And you would think that today they probably carry that on when you think about it, you know, because you pick up the team you want to support from a young age. And it's probably a big part of their supporter base, really.
Well, it can be usually from who your parents support or where you grew up. I know my old man was a big Parramatta supporter because he was born there. I was actually born in Parramatta. But I sort of followed them with one eye. But on the other eye, I did follow Manly in my early days, and the reason for that was one of the very first games I watched on TV was the 68 grand final against South, and Manly lost.
Right.
So I went, I'll go for this Manly side, and I like Bobby Fulton. He was a great player, Bobby Fulton. He was one of the original immortals, and so till the Raiders came in, I followed Manly. And speaking of the Raiders, an incredible comeback they had the other night against Manly. There you go. Against Manly.
I'm getting more and more impressed how you're just slipping the odd, you know, the odd thing in about your team there, mate. You know, happy about that.
Yeah. No, can't help that, mate, for sure. Bit of tennis. We had Muscles, Ken Rosewell, Muscles Rosewell.
Yeah.
He was only 5'7" and weighed 67 kilos, and they called him Muscles. So, again, a bit of Aussie humour there in the sense that it's the opposite to what he was.
He was a bit scrawny, wasn't he?
He was only a little bloke, 5'7". And in the old terms, and of course, Rocket Rod Laver. Well, that wasn't taking any humorous thing. Rocket Rod Laver was only a little guy, but he had a rocket, rocket serve, and rocket forehand, left hander for sure.
Yeah, Federer. I'm trying to remember. He's got quite a
Boom Boom Becker. There's another one too from way back in the 80s, and Bjorn Borg, he was the Iceman or the Iceborg, they called him.
Yeah. Here we go. The GOAT. Various nicknames.
Well, there you go.
Roger Federer. The GOAT. So greatest of all time.
Well, there's been a few GOATs.
There has been a few GOATs.
Well, Nathan Lyon's a GOAT.
Federer, I think everyone sort of loved Federer and would like to see him there. But, of course, Djokovic is he's still got a few in him, I think.
I did do a story on Rod Laver and how his credentials really show up to him nearly being the greatest of all time, because he's one of the few guys to win – I think he's the only guy to win 2 actual Grand Slams, and they were 10 or 11 years apart. He won it in 62, I think it was, as an amateur, and then he turned professional, and he couldn't play in any he couldn't play for 6 years in any Grand Slams. And when he came back, the year after he came back as a professional, he won a Grand Slam again. So, you know, Rod Laver is one of the all-time greats.
Is that because he had to build up his points to get to the Grand Slams?
Sorry?
Or because he was an amateur?
Because he was an amateur, he couldn't play.
Amateur. Sorry, I thought
he was not allowed to play. Only amateurs up to 1967, I think it was, could play in the Grand Slam tournaments. He turned professional in 63, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was a new ATP sort of professional circuit. They were all banned from playing in the Grand Slams. So he couldn't play in the Grand Slams for 6 years.
It'd actually be interesting to have a look back as to why he stayed amateur, or how that sort of all, you know, transpired, not just for him but for others, you know.
He turned professional. He turned professional. So that's why he couldn't play.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so he dominated as an amateur, then he dominated as a professional, and that's why the term open has come in. in 67. It's open to everyone now.
Yeah, right.
So that's okay. That's the terminology behind that in tennis. Yeah. There you go. You learned some tennis off me.
I did, mate. I did. Yeah. I could learn how to play.
Oh, you won't learn that off me. Another famous tennis player, René Lacoste from France, and he had the nickname the Crocodile.
Yeah.
He was given that name by a journalist, and he liked it. Mm-hmm. And in the end, he started putting little crocodiles on his everything that he wore, and in the end, it became a bit of a clothing empire, the Lacoste.
Oh, I thought you were going to tell me it was the other way around, you know, like Lacoste and the – yeah, that's how that came about.
That's how it came about.
That from was his the creation nickname. Of the Lacoste brand.
Correct. That was from his nickname given to him by a journalist because they said that he never gave up, and he sort of was always, you know, he sort of clamp onto an opponent and wouldn't give up, and he'd, you know, twist them all over the court and everything, so they called him the Crocodile.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. And, of course, we got Alex de Minaur, who's called the Demon.
The Demon.
Yeah.
Demonor.
Demonor, that's it. Demonor. But, yeah, there's a few I think there's a few definite nicknames there. Well, we can do quite a few episodes on that, but we might.
Yeah, well, I also think that, you know, once again, anyone has got some good ideas.
Yeah, throw them definitely.
In the comments or anything like that. And
definitely.
Let us know. We'll do a bit of research on some really crazy nicknames because we've only touched on a few sports, really.
Well, and mostly 90% Australians there. I mean, there's some pretty sort of hilarious nicknames, and we will be doing an episode on actual names because I've done some research, mate, on some pretty sort of strange and wonderful names of sporting people. But that's for another episode totally.
So the truth is better than fiction, so to speak.
You should get a good laugh out of it anyway.
All right, excellent.
So we'll wind this one up. Thanks for listening. And you have been listening to Jordan and the Sportsologist, two armchair critics, and just having a bit of a banter about sport in general. So
whatever it is.
Yep. So next time, we'll hope you enjoy, and you can join us again.